back, doing well. It's good to have you back with us. Our prayers have been with you all and in support of what you were going through as well. Now, I'm going to set my timer today. I'm not expecting a phone call because, you know, we're here together in London, so if God's calling, it's going to be a local call, so don't worry about that. Mr. Evans got us again. He was giving the sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I heard this familiar noise from the lectern. I first heard that noise down here when I was speaking. He left his phone laying on the table, and his phone has a charge that's unreal, because when he leaves that thing on vibrate, I mean, it vibrates. You hear just, you know, he's still talking. He didn't hear it. We're all looking like, it's not my phone. Is it your phone? You know. I said, no, I know whose phone that is. And so finally, he got the message. It was his phone that was vibrating all over the place. Well, family, today, I want to continue where I left off the last time I was here. The last time I was here, I was talking about the difference between having a complacent spirit versus a Laodicean spirit. And not only having those two spirits, neither are found as a characteristic of God's Holy Spirit. Being complacent and being Laodicean does not show the character of God's Holy Spirit. The conclusion of it was about us being persistent in going to God and staying focused on our journey. I began talking about the Feast of Trumpets coming up and comparing the events that take place during that time period to some of our minor sufferings. You know, she's kind of showing the difference a little bit to what is going to take place, and I just kind of briefly touched on those events in the last message, but today I want to go a little bit more in depth into the Feast of Trumpets, what it means to us, and where our focus is supposed to be. The title for the sermon this morning is, Let Us Stay Focused on the Return of Jesus Christ. It is very easy, family, to get caught up in the world and be caught up within family matters and various things that are going on within our lives and lose focus. Distractions come very easy. You know, we're just, 9 days away from keeping the Feast of Trumpets. And this year, my hope is that we will approach the feast with a better understanding and a more positive approach than maybe we've ever have in the past before. As I sit down and I start thinking about subject matters and topics to speak about, it's always amazing to me the things that I want to speak about, I can't pull together. The scriptures, they come, but there's something missing. I don't have the balance in the preparation. But when I hit a subject matter that flows and everything comes together with that subject matter, I have learned over the years that this is what I'm supposed to speak about. And so today we're going to be looking back into the scriptures in developing and having a clear focus on the return of Jesus Christ. This is what the Feast of Trumpets pictures to you and me. Let's start out in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapters 23, and we're going to start in verse 23. Because here is the reminder to you and me today. The Lord God spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. So here we are to come together. Here's the instructions given to Moses to speak to the people, saying these words to them that God gave to Moses. And on September the 10th, we will do just that. We will come together, and we will keep the Feast of Trumpets. We will observe it as God has instructed us to observe this day, and we will keep this day in accordance to God's instruction on how we are to keep this day. He says we are not to be at work, we're to be here. before him, and we are to bring an offering. But you know, it's interesting that many friends, family members, ex-church members will come back and say things like, I don't know why you're still keeping those days. We don't have to keep those days. They're Jewish days. You're not even Jewish. So why keep and observe those holy days? They're only a shadow of things to come. Well, you know, it's interesting. No, we're not physical Jews. At least I don't think any of us are. No, we're not physical Jews, but God does identify who we are. He reminds us as to who we are. And therefore, I want to focus on two areas as I begin. The first area is to remind us of the fact that God called each one of us sitting here today. And as you remember, John 6 and verses 44, very familiar scripture. You don't have to turn there. He says, no one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father who drew that individual, you know, you can't come before him. Unless the Father who draws him, who sent me, draws that individual, you cannot come before God. You know, many try to convert. Many of us have done this. We have made mistakes trying to convert other people. If God is not calling those individuals, they're not going to hear the words that you're trying to share with them. I don't care how much you preach to them. I don't care how many times you have this conversation with them. You are the one who becomes frustrated, and they walk away trying to figure out, why are you so frustrated? You know, you're the one that doesn't get it. But yet, family, we get it. We understand it. We want to share it, but unless God is calling those individuals, they're not going to understand what you're trying to share with them. But you, God, has called. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, we see that here's Paul telling us, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, that many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that were mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Now, many times we don't want to look at ourselves as being base things or being simple, you know, or being foolish, but let's keep it real. You know, all the wives in the room can look and raise their hand and tell us how foolish their husbands are. I know if my wife was sitting right there, she'd have her finger sitting down her rib pointing straight at me. And I always tell her, and there's a big thumb pointing back up at you, you know. But we don't want to see ourselves this way, but let's understand what God is saying here. Let's understand his message. He called us for a very special purpose. Okay, and in calling us for a very special purpose, God has a plan for us. And as Paul demonstrates and shows us here, God's purpose is to do something to those who think they are when they are not. And he will use us to do so. John 15 and verse 15. John 15 and verse 15, we see here that no longer do I call you servants. This is Christ speaking. For a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He says, you did not choose me. He's reminding you and me today that we didn't choose him. He says, I chose you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now, Christ is telling us that he chose us. God is reminding us that he called us. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says very clearly who we are. Verse 9, 1 Peter 2, we read, but you are a chosen generation. That's us sitting right here in this room today. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, we read these scriptures, we go over them, we walk through them, and sometimes, family, we need to just kind of stop and just kind of absorb what God is saying to us through his word. No matter what we think of ourselves, God sees something different. You know, we might see ourselves low, but God sees us just a little bit higher than we see ourselves. And God is saying here through Peter, he says, you are a chosen generation. And we just saw where Christ said that we did not choose him, but he chose us. And so in understanding this, no, we're not Jews. There are those who will say to us, you know, you're not. Well, we know that. We understand that. But do understand this. You are chosen by God. We are a special people to God. You know, I had a man come to me a few years back, and his comment was very troubling. And he began to speak about the fact that, you know, the Laodicean church, you know, it is God's church. We are God's people, so it's okay. It troubled me because of the fact that God said what he would do to that individual or those individuals. And he didn't go on to read the rest of the story. But to say it's okay to be Laodicean, it is not okay. It is not okay. What is okay, family, is that we understand God's purpose and plan for us. So the Feast of Trumpets is coming. Prior to Christ's return, we'll start in Matthew 24 and verse 21. Things are not going to be great during that time period. As Matthew records here in verse 21, he says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. There is going to be great turmoil going on. And when Christ returns back, what is he going to find? Is he going to find us still being persistent, pursuing him and keeping the Feast of Trumpets and looking forward to this day? Because this day pictures his return. This day pictures us being brought up with him. This day pictures Satan and his demons being put away. And so we're going to go through and we're going to take a look at some of the events that's going to take place. Now, some of the world may look at you and me and say, you know what, you guys are nuts. You know, because when you begin to look at what's going to happen prior to Christ's return, when we read the scriptures as we're going to go back and we're going to do today, they're going to look and say, and you people are looking forward to this? Well, absolutely. Many of us in this room have been looking forward to this for 20, 30, 40 plus years. When God called us into his family and he made us aware of his truth and he gave us and educated us about the holy days, we began to look forward to these holy days and to the return of Jesus Christ. But when we say we're looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, do we really know what we're going to have before us? Do we really know what we're looking forward to? And so let's look at those things. And this is not to be a doom and gloom, but this is for us to be able to know and to understand that when these events take place, don't have fear. This is what we've been looking forward to. And so this will be the end of all madness that's going to be going on the earth, where mankind today thinks, this here is great. This is wonderful. Oh, well, yeah, you know, you have a few wars over here. You have all these different events going on. But by comparison, you know, you folks are nuts. And that's fine, because see, then we'll have the opportunity later to come back, sit down with them and explain to them that these things had to take place and they had to come to pass for you to have the opportunity to be now sitting before Jesus Christ and all of us in learning the ways that God wants you to learn. When Christ returns, the question, and it's a big question, and that big question is for all of us sitting here today, will he find faith? Will he find us still being faithful? Zechariah 14. Let's take a trip backwards. Let's go back here to Zechariah and let's see what is being written here. All of you know about this. We've read it. We read it every year. Zechariah 14, let's start in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoils shall be divided in the middle of you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Now, this is when Christ, on his approach back, here are the things that's going to take place. Here's what's going to happen. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord God go forth and fight against the nations. You see, there's going to be a war. There's going to be the war of all wars when Christ returns. Because Satan is not going to go down without a fight. And he is going to bring up his armies against Jesus Christ. And God knows this, and Jesus Christ knows that. And so it has been recorded for our benefit to know and to understand that there is going to be a great tribulation, and there's going to be a great time before us. But what we have to do in order for ourselves to be able to escape these things, we've got to stay focused on that return of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and his feet shall stand in that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split in the middle, therefore towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed towards the north, and the other towards the south. So when Christ returns back, family, there's some business at hand that's going to have to be taken care of. But during that time period, we have to continue to remain focused and understanding as we see these events taking place that this has to come to pass. It is not a time for us to grow faint and weary, but it is a time for us to begin to rejoice because these are the signs of his return. Matthew 24, staying focused. And here's how we stay focused, family. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Matthew 24 and verse 42. Here's how we begin to stay focused. He says, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour that your Lord is coming. You see, Jesus Christ, like you and me, we're waiting for God to give the word for him to return back. We're waiting. And he says, no man knows the hour that his Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you should also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that we do not expect. So, what is this message saying to you and to me today? Going back to the last message, being complacent is not the attitude that we should have, because the events that are going to be taking place during this time period, it might be during a time period when things are going well. But all of a sudden, things are going to make a change, and it's going to be a big change. And he says for us to watch, to pray, not to get caught up. Mark 13 and verse 32. Mark 13 and verse 32. How we continue to stay focused on the return of Jesus Christ. He says, no one knows the day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. God is the only one that knows when he is going to send Jesus Christ down here back to this earth to set up his kingdom. He says, take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when that time is. We've made a mistake in the year in the church over the years in setting dates and saying when we thought Christ was going to return. And the reason it was such a big mistake is because the Word of God says no one knows when Christ is going to return. Not even the angels, as Mark had recorded here, and not even the Son. Only the Father knows when Jesus Christ is going to return. So you and I, we have work to do. We must continue to be persistent after the truth of God and living our lives, in accordance to God's way. In Luke 21, again, we see the recordings here. Again, here's the way that we stay focused. Luke 21 and verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves are roaring, men's heart failing because they are afraid. And the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. And so what he's saying to those of us sitting here today and to his church all across the land here, he is telling us, here's what's going to happen. Here's what it's going to look like. Now, will we be prepared for this, or will we be caught unawares when Christ returns? Will we grow faint, or will we be rejoicing? He says in verse 28, he says, when these things begin to happen, he says, look up and lift up your heads. Why? Because this is the time period, family, that we have been looking forward to for the years that we've been in the church. We are looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Feast of Trumpets is picturing to us, his return. To the world, this is not exciting. To you and me, this should be very exciting, because your redemption draws near. It's very important, family, that we stay focused. Verse 34, it says, take heed of yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day come on you unexpectedly. He's telling us to be careful of what we are doing ourselves with our life during this time period, that we don't get caught up, because he will come unannounced. And the day come upon you unexpectedly, he says, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be found, that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. When Jesus Christ returns, family, we want to have ourselves ready. We want to be ready. Now, there are going to be many of us, we may have gone on to our place of safety, the grave, where he knows where we are. And then there will be those of God's people who will still be around. What a great opportunity, what a great blessing that will be, because you'll be able to witness things that others did not witness. And that is to see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, descending back to this earth. Now, of course, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a great time of trouble, as we read earlier. But we, family, we are not to fear. We are not to faint. We're not to lay our heads down crying, woe is me. We're to lift our heads up and rejoice, because we know that our redemption is near. Matthew 24, verse 30. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Now, here in Matthew is being recorded that he will send angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And yet we find this command back in the Old Testament, in which people say, hey, the Old Testament is done away with. Why are we observing these days? Well, here we see that a trumpet is going to play a big part in that return of Jesus Christ. Well, the world doesn't understand this. You see, yes, it is a shadow of things to come, but yet God is foretelling what's going to take place, and he wants us to be prepared for us before this, and he is teaching us what is taking place, what is going to happen, and how he expects us to be. And he will send angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from all the four winds, from the end of the heaven to the other. His elect will be gathered together. Now, who would that be? You know, That is you and me being gathered together. This is a time period that we are looking forward to. And this is a time when rejoicing, brethren, should be high within our hearts and with our beings, because this is a time we've been looking forward to for many, many, many years. And so he said, he will send angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Well, let's go over to Revelations, and let's begin to take a look at these angels that he refers to here, being gathered together and sent to blow a loud trumpet. Let's start over in Revelations, the 8th chapter. Let's start in Revelations, the 8th chapter. In verse 1, we read, When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now, if the Feast of Trumpets plays no part in our future, then how is it that mankind can't understand the importance of this day? It's very simple. God has not given them that knowledge and understanding. He has given us this knowledge and understanding that we, family, should never take for granted. We should not take this ever for granted. And so as we prepare to go keep the Feast of Trumpets, these are the things that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. These are the understandings that God is giving to us today that we need to hold very precious and to be very excited about. He says, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of incense with the prayers of saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from an altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thundering, lightning, and an earthquake. This all in preparation of Jesus Christ returning. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Let's take a look at the first trumpet. The first angel sounded the trumpet. He gave it a blast, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the grass was burned up. Here's a blast that's going to go out. Here's the event that's going to take place. And during this event, vegetation, this life is going to be swallowed up at this particular blast. Doesn't sound like fun, doesn't sound exciting, but we need to hear that blast. The second blast, we continue on, and now in verse 8 of Revelation 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. There's great calamity that's going to take place as a result of the blowing of these trumpets. Then we take a look at the third trumpet. Verse 10. Third of the angels sounded. A great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on the third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. The name of the star was Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from water because it was made bitter. So here the waters cannot even be consumed because of the fact that that trumpet blast basically destroyed the water. The fourth trumpet. The fourth angel sounded. A third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. So the third of them were darkness, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. This, family, are the events that are going to take place prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Those trumpets are going to blast. The sound is going forth. All of the earth will know that something's going on, but for those he called his elect, we will know and understand, those of God's people who are still around and who are still alive during that time period, will know exactly what's going on and what this time means. Those blasts are indicating to you and to me that it's only a moment, and our Lord and Savior will be descending through those clouds. Let's take a look at the fourth trumpet. Verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the heavens, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of these three angels who are about to sound." Trouble was really in the midst of what was about to take place next. So here, the heavens being struck. Now, going on down to the fifth trumpet. The fifth trumpet, Revelation 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from the heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And so, when this takes place, we know what's about to happen. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. So there's going to be blackness over the earth as a result of this fifth trumpet blast. Because this fifth trumpet blast is in preparation of doing something that we all have been waiting to see and to hear done for however long we've been a part of God's church. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, there are several different translations when you look and you read this seal being on the forehead, this seal being in the forehead. Now, the seal that we're talking about here is the truth of God, the Word of God. Those of us who have God's Word sealed in our heads, in our minds. They were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 days. Now, the interesting thing about this, it gives us the understanding that even God's people are going to go through a little period of time that God will allow us even to be tormented for a moment. But yet, they're not allowed to kill. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion, which strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and they won't find it. They will desire to die, and death will not flee from them. Isn't that kind of horrible to think about? That you at this point want to die, and you can't. You can't even go hide up under a boulder and pry it and push it and hope that it falls on your head, and you still won't die. Because God is going to allow you to experience the things that he's going to have you to experience during that time period. So it's very important for God's people to be where God places us, in that place of safety, away from a lot of the troubles that will come before us. And yet we know for a short period of time, you know, Satan is going to try to destroy again, but he's not going to be able to do so. God won't allow that to happen. Verse 7 says, the shape of the locusts was like the horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair. Teeth were like the lion's teeth. And their breastplate was like the breastplate of iron. So he's talking about an event that's going to take place now as a result of the things that will take place with this fifth trumpet blast. And yet, family, these things all have to come to pass. And the Feast of Trumpets pictures the blasting, the blowing of these trumpets. And I'm quite sure these trumpet blasts, when they come out, they will be able to be heard all around the world. And all will know something is going on. And you and I, if we are still alive during that time period, we will know what that means. We will know what that means. And we will be looking forward again to look up and to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ descending back to the earth. But when these things take place, family, don't lose heart. Don't faint, because they have to come to pass. Move down to the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet, the angel will blast the trumpet. He says, and I heard a voice. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which was before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and a day and a month and a year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, these events are going to take place. The plagues that are going to come out of this sixth trumpet blast is going to take place because of the fact that, one, mankind will know that our God is God and that Jesus Christ is going to return. He has to clean up this mess. He has to begin to prepare the battle in order for you and I to be able to stand with him. The whole earth is going to have to know that Jesus Christ is our returning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, today they don't see it this way. Today, when we look at many churches that talk about the Feast of Trumpets and these holy days that are coming up, they discourage people from wanting to even participate in these days because of what these days mean. You know, as I look and I listen and I hear certain things from various different groups, even from those that we once were in fellowship with, something has gone wrong. And what has gone wrong is they've turned their heart away from this word of God and the truth of God. And they want to do away with the Feast of Trumpets because of the fact that it pictures Christ's return. They know what it means. They know what's going to happen. They know what's going to take place. But they don't want to see that. Satan doesn't want to see that. He does not want Christ returning. And he actually thinks that he can bring together the armies of the land to fight against Jesus Christ to stop that return. Family, you and I know differently. You and I know differently that Christ is going to return. Now, we can't give faint today because of what's going on within our lives as we see things happening around us. He doesn't want us giving, you know, losing heart about his return. He will return. Will he find us being faithful, though? Will he find us being persistent continually after him, trusting and believing that all these things that he is sharing with us today will come to pass, and we will actually look up and see him descend from the clouds? We, family, welcome that day. We welcome that return. We look forward to it. Now, we know that there are some things that we may have to go through, some things that we may have to suffer. But again, family, don't lose heart. Let us stay focused on that return of Jesus Christ. And he will return. Many in the church over the years have grown tired of waiting. Tired of waiting because We made a few mistakes along the way. We said he'd be back by now. We said he would be here. The kingdom will be set up. And all the events and calamities that took place on the earth, well, when those things took place, the mistake was made that we thought it was going to be the return of Jesus Christ. Well, as we look around, it didn't happen. He's not here. We're still here. And it can be a little bit disappointing. But what we failed to do was we failed to go back and read what God said. Nobody knows. Only the Father knows when these things are going to take place. The church, as we would like to have the insight on many things, God does not reveal that to his people. What would you do if I told you Jesus Christ would come tomorrow? If I told you I've got absolute proof that he'll be here tomorrow, what would you do? Would you change anything? Would you actually prepare for his return? Would you actually be excited and go out and tell all your friends and family, hey, I'm going to be leaving here in a little bit because Christ will return tomorrow? I think many of us will start worrying about, well, what am I going to do with this? Or what am I going to do with that? And who's going to take care of the dog? And you know, there are going to be all these different what ifs and what I have to do and what I need to do in preparation for his return. What you and I have to do is what we do daily. We stay focused. We stay persistent about what God is telling us to do and how he is preparing us. He says for us to watch. Take note. Pray. He even gave us the signs here of things that will take place. And we have not seen any of these events take place. But yet, along the way, we made a mistake. We said, hey, he was going to be back by a certain time. And people gathered around and they waited. Didn't seem coming, so they lost heart. They gave up. They went on their merry way. Family, we cannot give up. We've come too far. We have come too far to turn around and go back. I constantly use the expression, stop looking backwards, because we're not going in that direction. We have to continue to look forward. Look forward to that return of Jesus Christ. And if it takes him another 20, 30, 40 years, family, then what God wants you and me to do is to continue to remain faithful. Remain faithful. He has given us a lot. I appreciate it if I can share Mr. Lane's comment about his wife and saying that the doctor and God had things under control. It's good to hear that someone actually acknowledges God in their process. It's good to hear that someone actually believes that it's not by my doings, but God's doings. That the problems that she suffered were caught in a timely manner. God does this for us whenever we call upon him. But the problem with us is he doesn't, you know, do it the way we want it done. I wanted a Mercedes. He gave me a Volkswagen. You know, I wanted one child. He gave me five. You know, here's a man who says, God bless me with a wife. So he blesses him with a wife. Now he's complaining to God because she can't cook. She can't sew. She don't clean house. She doesn't do any of these things. And then God has to remind him, you didn't ask for any of those things. You ask for a wife. So that's what you have. Now you work out all the details. Or on the other hand, he doesn't want to work. He wants to play video games all day. He wants to hang out with his buddies. He wants me to go work. Well, you wanted a husband. You didn't ask that he works. He stops playing video games. He grows up. You see, sometimes, you know, there are those moments in our lives when God does give us exactly what we ask. And then there are those times when God gives us what we need. what we need. He will give us those things that will sustain us. Family, he has given us his word of truth. He said that Jesus Christ will return. He gave the message to his apostles, to his disciples. And that message had been conveyed and is still being conveyed today. He will return. So, in the meantime, as we continue to pray for that return, family, we must continue to stay faithful to him. Okay, I didn't get everything I wanted, but I have what I need. And God is faithful to us. He is very faithful to us. He has not let us down in any way, shape, or form. It is us who have let ourselves down. Because, you see, our desires and our wants, you know, God says, you have not because you ask not, James 4. And you have not because you ask for something that's going to hurt or something that's not going to benefit or profit you. He says, you don't ask amiss because it's not going to happen. God is faithful to you and me. He has always been faithful to us. When we are offering up our prayers for one another, God hears those prayers. And he intervenes. We're looking for the big miracle. But family, sometimes we got to focus on the little ones. We have to focus on the little things that we just don't pay attention to because, you know, I want to see you get up and walk. But you haven't noticed the other healings that took place prior to this happening. But that's good. But, you know, I want to see him get up and walk. That will happen as long as you have the faith in God that will happen. And you can have that faith all the way up until that very moment. And God can decide at that very moment, well, that's not going to happen. Well, did God let you down? Well, sure, we're human. Disappointment does come. But you stay faithful to God. And then look along the way what God did to get you from where you are to where you are now. From where you came from to where you are. It took faith. It took faith for you to believe that God could actually raise someone up and heal them and they'll be restored again. It takes faith to believe that. And along the way, your faith is being increased. Your faith is being strengthened. That God is going to do this miraculous thing. And then you get to that point where you're waiting. And God says, okay, I've got you there. But did you look and see internally how you have grown? He says, I called you out of darkness. I called you out of a period of time when you didn't once believe. But now you believe. Why? Because I have shown you the Father. And I have answered your prayers, and I have done these things for you because you asked. But yet, Satan wants to use that one moment in our lives where God says, okay, enough's enough. He says, no. Satan wants to use that moment to show you and me that God's not faithful in keeping his word. And so people become discouraged because the Feast of Trumpets comes around year after year. We keep waiting. We keep looking. We keep watching. We keep praying. We keep hoping. And yet, he hasn't come yet. But that is not the reason for us, brethren, to let the bars down, to give up, to throw in the towel, and to say, I don't believe anymore. I quit. It's not what God wants us to do. We have come too far, family, to turn around and to turn our back on God and say, hey, I can't do this anymore. No. God will strengthen us every step of the way as long as we stay persistent after him. He will strengthen our hearts. We have to have the attitudes of those Hebrew boys. You remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Even if God decides that we're going to die in this fiery furnace, we're still going to trust him. We're still going to obey him. We're not going to obey you, O King. We're going to obey our God. And our attitudes in faith have to be the same way. If this is the way it's going to be, God, it is in you that I continue to place my trust. It is you that I continue to believe. It is you that I continue to seek after. Because you are my help. You are my strength. My Redeemer shall return. God has given us along the way evidence of his presence and the blessings. We see it in our lives. Jesus Christ doesn't return next week. We still continue to have faith. We still continue to trust and believe that he is going to return one day. So what is God doing? He's giving you and me time. He's given us time to get ourselves together. He's given us time to allow us to have our hearts renewed. He's given us time to repent of our ways and our attitudes against him, towards him. He's given us time to overcome the influences of our adversary, Satan the devil, and his demons. He's given us time to grow. And during that time period, family, we have an opportunity to have that hope renewed and restored within us. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful, True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Here he comes, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except him. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. And he himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. And he has on a robe and on his high thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The beast and his armies defeated. Then I saw angels standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together, for the supper of the Lord is great. He will allow them to feed on them. We are looking forward to Jesus Christ returning back. We're looking forward to rising up with him. But you see, he has work to do prior to this happening, family. He has work to do. He's got to deal with Satan and his demons and those armies that have gathered against him. And so, family, here's what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to cry aloud. We're supposed to lift up our voice like a trumpet. We're supposed to show the transgressions of the people of God so that we may turn ourselves around and be prepared for that great return of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we forget to cry out. And sometimes we forget to spare not. Because so many times, family, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And yet, what God wants is for us to turn around. So he's given us the time to do so. How much more time do we need? I don't know. But yet, God knows the day and the hour in which he will send Jesus Christ back to this earth. The question, will you and I be ready for his return? Will we still be focused? Will we still be faithful? Or will he find us angry? Will he find us doing other things because we've given up? We've thrown in the towel. We've stopped trusting. We've stopped believing. He laid his life down for you and me. He gave us a great hope, family. What are we prepared to give him? What are we prepared to give him? Following the Feast of Trumpets is the Day of Atonement, a day that pictures Satan now being removed so that we can be truly at one with God. Are we looking forward to these feast days? Are we looking forward to these feast days? Are we looking forward to reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years? And during the Feast of Tabernacles, being able to teach those who didn't understand what you were trying to teach them years ago. They didn't get it, but they'll get it now because you have the opportunity to make it clear to them. Your training, my training today, is in preparation for the return of Jesus Christ, so that we can reign with him, so that we can teach mankind his ways, so that we can go back after our children who grew up in the church and now have the opportunity again to sit down with them, to rehearse with them these days again and the importance of these days. You see, this is what we are living for every day. That return so that we can reign with him. That return so that we can go back to mom, to dad, to grandmas, to grandpa, to great-grandma, and say, hey, you know, when I was a kid, you said I was going to be a bum for the rest of my life. Well, it didn't happen because, see, God used that bum now to come before you and to teach you and to show you these things. So I have the opportunity to say that to my grandparents. But yet, again, see, that's okay. Because, see, God had another plan. And they didn't understand that plan. But God shared that plan with you and me. Brethren, don't throw this away. Do not become discouraged. Do not become complacent. Do not sit back and accept and develop that Laodicean attitude. Look back within your lives. Look at the things that God has done for each of us. Look at how he has strengthened us over the years. Let's not let one moment set us backwards. Because when we do that, we're planting ourselves right where Satan wants us to be defeated. To not be where we need to be when Christ returns. There are going to be 7 trumpet blasts announcing that return. There are going to be events, as we were reading, that's going to take place during that time period. You and I, we're looking forward to that 7th trumpet blast. And we'll talk about that one on the Feast of Trumpets. But in the meantime, family, let's keep growing. Let's keep moving forward. Let's stop looking backwards. We're not going in that direction. The kingdom of God is in front of us. Let's keep aiming towards it. If it takes another 10, 20, 30, or 40 years, we don't give up. We continue to pray and ask God to give us the strength and the courage to keep going. There are days that all of us sitting in this room are physically challenged with something that's ailing us. The one thing that should never ail us is our ability to be persistent after the truth and the word of God. Our ability to be persistent in staying faithful to God through it all, because he will continue to be faithful to you and me.